is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about spirituality, ancient spirituality, in fact, the first ones, Armenian Orthodoxy, and polished up for today. We call that Armadoxy, and we invite you to kick back right now as we share the next few minutes together. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. And, of course, part of the expanding vision of the Initiates Mission. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, so good to have you joining us today. We are broadcasting from Epostle East today. That is in Pasadena, California, and a beautiful day. Sunshine like you could not believe. This is like the California sunshine they talk about. We're enjoying it. It's a hot day. It's a warm day, but there's a pleasant breeze going down. We're trying out a new studio idea. We're trying out, you might hear some background noise, too. It's kind of a different idea. We're going to be experimenting with different ideas in the next few weeks. Get together with this whole podcasting idea. We are like in our fifth year of broadcasting, and you know what? It's just there's just so many dimensions to it. The other day, I got to tell you, I listened to our podcast on Stitcher Radio. Now that is they've picked us up on Stitcher Radio. That is, I think, one of the easiest way, apart from our little app. If you have the app, I think that really works nicely because you're able to see all the different Epostle programming. But Stitcher Radio was very, very easy to use, and I like the way they stream it so that it's basically you get the content immediately. It is very much like a radio. I just discovered it. I know Susie's been telling me we're with Stitcher for a while, but I had a chance to listen to it, and we'll put a link on our show notes today, so I'd really invite you to check them out. There are so many ways to get in touch with us, whether it's by Stitcher, whether it's on iTunes. I think iTunes is passé, don't you think? Yeah, it is kind of passe. I like the email method. You know, you just put in your email, and then once a week, when it's ready, you just get an email. That's kind of neat, too. And, of course, the app. So many different ways to get involved and get connected with us. And it reminds us that how different it is and how cutting edge it is. I mean, this whole thing about podcasting. I mean, it's different from radio broadcasts. You know, it's like if you miss it, so what? It's there. And you can just download it anytime you feel like it. And it's available for archiving, too, because there are little snippets. I got to say this. We always get people who comment about, hey, back in this podcast, you said this or that, and it's making sense. So it's almost like a working theology. It's almost like an ongoing evolution, a process, so to speak. So the rantings of a priest over here, and then he's going on, and you pick up this and that, and it all works. That's what's beautiful about it. So I'm going to share with you something that happened the other day. Well, let me tell you, first of all, our podcast today, we're going to do some memorials. We had the passing of three notable people, one of which you probably have not heard, and I'm going to be telling you about him coming up in a few minutes. I do also want to talk about this evangelical episode that happened in our lives. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. Of course, we have the song of the day and all the usual stuff that you're used to here on this Next Step podcast. But I do want to share with you, when I talk about like the evolution of this theology of Armadoxy, okay? I won't be so bold to call it a theology, but I think it is. I mean, I think to me, it really makes sense. It's a real working man's theology because it makes sense. It brings it down to a very basic level. And I think that this is when you look at the Armenian people who have adopted this from time zero, it's like this, well, you're talking about the ultimate working man, right? Somebody who's been able to intellectualize, not check his brain in at the door, but also understand himself within the bigger picture of the cosmos. And it is evolving in the sense that, you know, there's so many dynamics to it. A lot of times you have religion and people, I get this all the time. Hey, well, you know, you're a priest. You're not supposed to be doing it. Says who? You know, we've always had this issue, like from the beginning of time, since we were ordained. My wife and I would go to an event, to a wedding, we would go to a party or something, and then we'd want to dance. And then there'd always be the people, oh, can priests dance? Yeah, we have two legs. Yeah, you can dance. I mean, what's the big deal? And you'd be surprised how many people have this backward notion that the priest is supposed to be in his cloister. He's supposed to be like out of it, kind of like brain dead, and then shows up whenever you have a funeral, shows up if you want a blessing, but that's it. And I think that the movies and the media have played into this whole thing too. I mean, to me, the priest is supposed to be celebrating life. Isn't that what the priesthood is all about, right? Isn't that what Christ was all about? I mean, everything you read about Jesus Christ in the scriptures, everything that we know about him, every dimension of his life was a celebration. Even the crucifixion was the celebration of the suffering, the celebration of victory. I mean, it's wild when you think about it. And so why shouldn't a priest be celebrating life? Every dimension of his life should be that celebration. And I think there's the wisdom that you find within the Christian church, the formal Christian church, definitely within the Armenian church, Armenian Orthodox church, the wisdom of having the two types of priests. You had the monasteries, and this, of course, I'm talking about pre-genocide, pre-20th century, let's say. You had the monastery idea where you Vartabed itself means teacher. The role of the Vartabed was to be in a monastery. He was a monastic. He was a monk. And he would be inside of the monastery developing the theology, writing the prayers, while the kahana, or the priest, was out in the fields doing the work of the church, engaging with families, talking with families, dealing with issues of the family. You know, and so here's the wisdom of this system. And of course, after the Armenian genocide, by sheer numbers alone, the church was so devastated that they needed to bring in Vartabeds to do the work in the fields, in the parishes. And before that, though, you had this system. And like I said, there was a lot of wisdom in the system. So you had the Vartabeds, and by the way, all priests are priests, Catholicos, bishop, Kahana, Vartabed, Archimandrite, everything that you hear, they're all priests. They've all received the ordination of priests. They function as priests. But the idea of Vartabeds being within the monasteries, developing the theology, developing the prayer life that was used in the fields, in the parishes, this was a beautiful idea. And like I said, unfortunately, the numbers alone dictated that this wasn't possible after the genocide. Now, I think things have changed. I think you'll see this. I felt it certainly a couple of years ago when I was in Armenia. Under His Holiness Karakin II, you have the strengthening of the monasteries. So the idea of the monastics coming back. And I think you're going to see, if, you know, if all goes well, if we have peace in that land, you're going to see very soon that we will be back to a pre-genocide condition for the church. So that being said, it is an evolution. It's an evolutionary process. And of course, when we talk about Armodoxy, we're looking at, well, that evolution. We're looking at the faith for today. Now, so I get this interesting letter. This is from William in New York. And he comments about episode 207, which is interesting because we were just talking about this, right? Okay, with podcasts, you can go back. It's not like a radio show. So he's commenting here about episode 207, which happens to be the Ascension. I mean, I'm assuming, I haven't even looked it up, but I'm assuming from what he says over here, the Ascension podcast, okay? So he says, it was puzzling for me because you talked about the gospel and mission, yet you come up with the Anush Opera in your ministry at St. Andrew. What gives? And what he's referring to, I believe that was on the Ascension Day, that we played a piece from the Anush Opera, Spenderian music, and I made the mention that while I was a priest up at St. Andrew in San Jose, we were able to produce the opera, and to me it was just there you go again, okay? It was a celebration of Tumanyan's work. To me, Tumanyan was one of those forethinkers, one of those that were saying that, hey, enough of this superstition, get over it. You know, make life real. Tumanyan, if you read Hovhannes Tumanyan's works, all of his works were about getting rid of that brain-dead activity. It was about really understanding life for what it is and not some superstition. And so in Anush Opera, you see the folly of that superstitious idea. Not only the folly, you see it as tragedy. She actually kills herself. The opera ends up, the story ends up with her killing herself because of her backward ideas. Armenian word, hedamanatsads. It's backward. These backward ideas. But staying there. I like the Armenian word, hedamanatsads. Backward, but staying there. Manatsads. They are still there. And Tumanyan, and this is why we produced it at St. Andrew, it was not only for the art, the sake of art, the music itself, which is so beautiful, but it was the idea of telling people that, hey, enough is enough. 100 years before we presented that in St. Andrew, I think it was 1996 that we offered that opera up there in San Jose. 100 years earlier, Hovhannes Tumanyan had written this epic poem, Anush, and in it he had identified backward thinking as being the problem of our Armenian people. And so I felt like it was very important that we revisit this story, and like many stories, they get lost over there. They didn't have the invention of the internet. They didn't have the invention of the internet, so you wouldn't be able to go over there and pick up the archives. You'd have to go to a library. Oh, what were one of those? You'd have to go to a library to read it. And because people don't read as much, we felt that it was important that we present that. So that's what gives. It wasn't a major puzzle. We just liked the music. I personally liked the opera, and on top of it, it had a message. Anything simpler than that? There you go. Anyway, I really appreciate the asking. I appreciate the question. Hey, I want to tell you, you know, we've never used this special line that we have. And I want to throw that out at you because you have an opportunity. I mean, instead of writing to me, you want to get your voice here up on the next step. Please drop us a line by voice. Hey, voicemail. You can leave us voicemail. We are at area code 626 in the United States. So if you need to get into the United States and dial 1 or whatever you need to do, do that. That's up to you. But once you get into the United States network of phone calls, we are at 626-275-AMEN. or in Armenian, it's Amen. Whatever the case, I think that translates to, 275, Amen or Amen would be, 2636. Okay, that makes sense? Yeah. Okay, so dial us up and leave a voice message, and we will be sure to play it on our next step. Hey, you know, one more thing before we get on to the song of the day. It was interesting because I was talking about, the celebration of life. And this thing just came up last night. A cousin of mine, his father passed away. And we were talking last night, and he was mentioning that he was at the mortuary, and we're going to be doing the service this coming Saturday. And he said that everyone at the mortuary and then at the restaurants that he would go to for the memorial gathering afterwards referred to this as the celebration meal or the celebration of life. Interesting, right? Why do we have to wait till we die to celebrate life? Isn't life meant to be celebrated all the time? It was very interesting. I mean, the mortuaries, the funeral homes, the restaurants have no problem referring to death as the celebration of life. And then we, within the church, within the Christian community, we have all of our reservations not to refer to life as a celebration, but something that is negative. Well, that's negative to me, okay? I refuse to put that on the Christian church. It's just negative to me, okay? And because of that, I'm going to play a very special song. This is from the Vanush Chana Mirian collection. It is called Gadagbar. And as the name suggests, it's just a lot of fun. Enjoy. Fun-loving tune called Gadagbar, and I have seen this being performed. I've seen it, the Armenian State Dance Ensemble performing this. I got to tell you, it is much a visual treat as it is an audio treat. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll definitely put a link on our show notes so you could check it out and check out all the good music that we play here on The Next Step. Go in a few different directions today. I want to talk a little bit more about transfiguration. We talked about it last week. An interesting thought came to me because there's this trilogy of faith, hope, and love. And of course, that three number is very prominent within Holy Scripture. And it was interesting because I had this afterthought to the transfiguration. The idea of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus being present at the same moment in time, in this vision, so to speak. So as you remember, the story of the Transfiguration coming to us from two of the evangelists, Matthew chapter 17, he talks about how Jesus was transfigured. He showed his divinity to three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And there, all of a sudden, appeared two other people, not contemporaries, people who had passed long ago, but they were with Jesus. And they were Elijah on one side and Moses on the other side. And as I referred to them last week, I mentioned that, you know, in the Armenian church, there is a very beautiful proclamation that is made as the priest descends from the altar at the conclusion of the divine liturgy. He says, "Gadarumun orinatsen markareit stuyes Christos asvats pergichmer." Christ, you are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Gadarumun, the fulfillment. Orinats, the law. Orenk, and Markareits, the prophets, okay? So, in other words, Jesus was transfigured, and on both sides of him were Moses and Elijah, one the symbol of the law, the other the symbol of the prophets, and Christ in the center with God the Father saying, "This is my blessed Son, listen to him. I'm very pleased with him." Now think about this for a moment, okay? We have this trilogy over there, and then we talk about faith, hope, and love, a trilogy that comes to us from St. Paul, a trilogy that is repeated every baptism that we have in the Armenian Church. The Godfather's promise to the child is faith, hope, and love. And it occurred to me that here is a connection that I saw for the first time, that Moses, yes, he is the law, but what is the law? Isn't that the basis of the faith? Elijah is the prophet who talks of the times and gives hope. And Jesus, of course, is the incarnation of love. So you have faith, hope, and love at the Transfiguration, at this beautiful moment in time. And to me, this is basically the fulfillment. Gadarumun. This is the fulfillment that every Sunday when we come together for the Divine Liturgy, it is not only the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, it's the fulfillment of faith, hope, and love. Wild, isn't it? That's what the Divine Liturgy is. The fulfillment of faith, hope, and love. Now look how basic that is, okay? What a basic tenet that is. Now why is it takes? Why do we complicate it so much to the point that we can't understand it? Now I want to share with you something that happened just a couple days ago, and it was an eye-opener for me. I was with Susie. We were talking about apostle, probably one of our favorite topics, like where we're going, what we're doing. And just as we were talking, very interestingly enough, a few steps from us was a couple, husband and wife, I'd say late 50s, early 60s. She was on an iPad typing away on the keyboard, on the screen, on the iPad screen. He had a Samsung tablet, and he had an extended keyboard, and he was typing on that. Now, we are not inclined to listen to other people's conversations. Yes. But in this case, it was just, our proximity was so close, and the voice level was so high that it became impossible. And I want to share with you what happened. Another man came up to this couple, a completely total stranger, introduced himself, and he said, "Oh, that's an iPad. I've heard about these." He explained he was an executive. He used a laptop, and he had heard about these iPads. So now this woman, who obviously was not a techie, was now about to give him an introduction to tablet technology. And this is what was fascinating for me. I mean, I was just so fascinated. And Susie and I, we talked about this for quite a while. Like, what does it take for people to evangelize? Because that's what she was doing. She was evangelizing an Apple iPad. Now, this to me is nothing new. I, having been the priest in Cupertino at St. Andrew for 15 years, while Apple was just evolving in those years, I remember Apple evangelization. That was something they talk about, and the mystique of the Apple, of the entire Apple cult, so to speak. You know, the whole idea of taking something very complicated and simplifying it, of giving you technology, but technology for everyone, so that you, even though you aren't a technological wizard, even though you're not a techie, you're not a geek, you're able to use the latest in technology. And here it was, right in front of us. Right in front of us. This woman took the next 10, 15 minutes to describe all the benefits of the iPad, including to say why her husband was using a Samsung, and it was a Droid operating system. She used the word Droid, and I kept thinking, isn't that an Android? But I guess, you know, once you get into these lingo things, I guess it's okay to call it a Droid system. Anyway, it was very, very fascinating. A non-technological individual describing technology to somebody else and selling them on it. Evangelization. I mean, this is what we've got to strive for. And you can argue, you can say, well, it's the product that's selling. It's the product that's bringing them to evangelize it, right? There's no question about it. I mean, you look at Apple products, they're just beautiful. There's an outside beauty to them, complemented with the ease of use inside. But then you think about what we're trying to sell over here. We're trying to sell something very, very basic. Faith, hope, and love. It's what Jesus was trying to sell. And Jesus was very, very successful in doing it, right? We complicated the matter. Jesus' message was very simple, right? Love. Have faith. Have hope, believe, faith, hope, and love. What happens is we complicate it by putting a structure, by putting a shell around it. It would be very similar to the iPad. And have you ever seen like somebody who has an iPhone? You know, very beautiful, beautiful instrument, right? But then by the time that they cover it, by the time that they get the casing for it, it looks like a monster. It's awful. It's horrible looking. Right? They put on these cases and everything. They want to protect it. And you lose the beauty of that instrument. In the same way, we've got this beautiful faith, a very simple faith, faith, hope, and love. But we complicate it by putting all the trappings on it, by putting all kinds of structure to it, instead of just talking about what the message is all about, faith, hope, and love. So here you go, here you have this woman evangelizing over an inanimate object such as an iPad and talking it with so much favor that anybody who was there, and here it is, I'm going to say it again, she was non-techie. She was somebody who was not employed by Apple. But after you listen to her spiel, you're ready to run out there and get one, at least to try one. To say, hey, this is something that will work in my life. That's how she sold it. And it was just amazing to me. Like, what does it take for us to develop evangelists? Evangelists who will be able to take the message of faith, hope, and love and pass it along. To pass along this beautiful tradition that we have. Because when you look at Armadoxy, it's exactly the iPad. It's exactly the iPad. When you look at it, it's beautiful on the outside. It's beautiful on the inside with its rich traditions. It has a function. It gets you from point A to B. It makes life easy. But when you complicate it with all the excesses on there, okay, when Armadoxy gets complicated, it becomes, well, it becomes the church. And so what we've been saying is let's uncomplicate the church and get to Armadoxy. The reverse is also important to note, that Armadoxy complicated becomes the church. So let's start ripping it apart. not in a negative way, not in a destructive manner, but ripping apart what doesn't belong there and getting to the essence of what the faith is all about. Faith, hope, and love. Jesus Christ, the incarnation of love, giving us this ultimate example. And through Armodoxy, when you look at the lives of the saints, when you look at everything that brings it together, it becomes the celebration of this beautiful thing called life. Now, can we get to that point so that people using it, experiencing it, will become the evangelists for it? Up until this point, we haven't been able to do that. We need to develop the evangelization, the evangelical colony, so to speak, for Armodoxy. People that will have no problem getting up and articulating what it's all about. And some of it has to come from us, of course, being able to develop it in such a way that it can be accessible. And so to me, when we talk about the apostle ministries, when we ask for your help for apostle, this is what it's all about. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus Christ didn't give us anything complicated. Gave us this simple, simple idea of loving one another. And when you see all of the tradition, including this transfiguration story that I shared with you a few moments ago, you see it occurring over and over and over again. Faith, hope, and love, this trilogy, is everywhere. So if it's everywhere, how about us taking it and being advocates for it, being evangelists for it? It was just an eye-opener for me. I had experienced this many years ago, like I said, in Cupertino. But this week, I saw it right in front of me. Here was this lady explaining, talking about an inanimate object, the iPad, and evangelizing as if it was something that was life-saving. Yeah, a savior. And isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't that where our evangelical call is? Talk about the Savior. Talk about salvation in our life right now. Think about that for a moment. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm going to share with you some stories of some people that made some big impacts on our life. Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah, she puts it down in simple terms. Susie's an evangelist for the next step. And, you know, in that same spirit that we're talking about evangelizing, you know, it's so easy. I can't tell you how many dumb emails I get. Is that a proper expression? Dumb emails? You know, like, they send you these things, like, take a look, what's going to happen in the world and everything. And if you send this to 10 people, you know, this will happen to you. If you don't send it to anybody, well, watch out. Yeah, stupid, stupid things like this. How easy is it to forward those things? How easy is it to forward a link to the next step, to Compass, to Epostle, you know, or just to put it somewhere here and there on your websites? It's easy. and it gets the message out. I appreciate it. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate all the feedback that we get. Not a week goes by that we don't hear from people, people sharing their stories, sharing what the next step means to them. And I really, really appreciate it. I'm very humbled by it. And really, it's something that I personally believe in. When I look at all the dynamics of my ministry, all the different things that are going on, Apostle, what we're doing with the Next Step has such a very special place in my heart, and I know that this is the kind of work that we need to do, because basically Apostle is that evangelical tool for Armodoxy, for Armenian Orthodoxy, in a very strict and personal sense, in a very grassroots sense.
Spin me back down the years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing the song.
In memoriam, I want to share with you three people who passed away within a week of each other. Actually, one of them, I didn't even know he passed away until just last week. I happened to be at a funeral at an Antiochian Orthodox service, and they told me that he had passed away. So let me begin with, well, the ones that you probably know. Both of them are from the entertainment industry. One of them was Andy Griffith. This is the star of TV shows primarily, but also he had a movie career as well. And I remember him because, you know what? He gave us what's called wholesome humor. That's something people don't understand today, but it's something that I think is timeless, because it was humor without all the bathroom connections. Did you catch last week or 2 weeks ago when I did that podcast about the Higgs boson? Okay, we were talking about the Higgs boson, about physics and everything, and I put a link on our show notes to the information about that. Somebody wrote to me and said, did you look at the contents of that link? And I have to admit, no, I didn't. So I quickly went on there and I looked at what had we posted. Well, on the Higgs boson article that we had posted, there was a series called The Big Bang Theory. And I guess this is a new show that's on TV. So I clicked on it. And it was just basic bathroom humor, you know. I gotta go to the bathroom. I think there was a woman who was vomiting, okay? And people were laughing. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, like that laughter that just goes, yes, exactly like that. People are laughing. This woman's having a tragedy. She's vomiting and people are laughing. People go to the bathroom and they laugh. This is not humor, folks. This is not humor. But when you look at somebody like an Andy Griffith and you see that they were able to use their talents, their God-given talents, you have to take a pause and say, you know, this is something that was beautiful and unfortunately is missing from our world right now. That's why he will be missed. The other individual was Ernest Borgnine. He passed away within a week of Andy Griffith. And Ernest Borgnine was an Academy Award artist. He had won an Academy Award for Marty. I can't remember if he won it or if the film itself, Marty, had won an Academy Award. But just an incredible actor. He was he played on TV as well, McHale's Navy. But the reason why I want to mention him is because of that film, Marty. This is a movie that we saw many years ago, and I gotta confess to you, many times we'd have our single friends who'd come over, and we'd show this movie. If you haven't seen it, it's 1955. You gotta check it out. It is a fantastic, fantastic movie. Just one word, Marty. And Ernest Borgnine plays the main character in this. But there is a line in there that I've often referred to, and you've heard it if you've been listening to the podcast, you know I've referred to it over here. And it is a line that really kind of like brings everything into focus. And that is where here's a single guy, Marty, and he's not that attractive, overweight, and he finds somebody that he could get along with, this woman who is not attractive, and she's kind of homely, and his friends, his buddies, make fun of her. And say, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to go out with that dog for? You know, and everything like that. And so at one point, he finally gets it all together and he realizes that life is going by. And, you know, they can make up all the excuses, but he's enjoying this woman's company. So he turns to her and he says, you're a dog, I'm a dog. Why don't we get together? I don't know if that's the exact quote, but basically that's the idea. You know, like in life, you know, we all have our difficulties. We all have our problems. We all are dogs in the sense that we all have, you know, things that maybe aren't attractive to other people. But you know what? In the end, we're all together. We're all people. And this has evolved into my Iqbal Pasquale, even Stephen, Avasar Bakhtasar expression that I've shared with you so many times. And I wanted to take a pause today to remember the passing of this great artist, Ernest Borgnine. Now, the third person I'm going to share with you, that he passed away again within a week of these two other individuals. His name was Peter Gilchrist. He was a father, an archpriest of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. And I didn't realize he had passed away until last week. I was at a funeral for a neighbor who belonged to the Antiochian Church. And over there I met with one of the members of the parish council up in Ben Lomond. And he told me that Father Peter had passed away. Now, I want to share with you what's so special about him. Peter Gilchrist was an individual who was with the Campus Crusade for Christ. You may know this if you've been on any college campus in the 70s and 80s in particular. This was a big, big organization, the Campus Crusade for Christ. And these were evangelical Christians who would go out and they'd recruit from the student body. And very, very active. In fact, they're very active until today. Peter Gilchrist and his friends studied Christianity. And he got to the point where he realized that there was only one true church, and that church was the Orthodox Church. And their story, there's a book called Coming Home. I'll put it on our show notes. Do check it out. It's a fascinating story. It goes through, you know, they went to the Greek church and petitioned, and the Greeks said no because you're not ethnic enough. Can you believe that? Well, I could believe it. It's what would happen if you came to the Armenian church. Okay. Finally, the Antiochian Church took them in. I've written an article about this group back in 1990s, and I'll put a link on our show notes about that as well. You got to check it out. Okay, they started this church up in Ben Lomond. This is right outside of San Jose, I would say maybe about 20 miles to the west, up in the hills of Santa Cruz Hills. And here you had this church which had this disproportionate number of clergy to parishioners. I mean, it was unbelievable. You had something like 20 priests and something like 300 congregants or something, which made it one priest per three people, you know. It was just unbelievable. It's even better than that, isn't it? It's to 1.5 people or something. Just, it was an unbelievable story. And I made many, many trips to Ben Lomond, to the St. Peter and Paul Church. In fact, a couple of years ago, you remember in one of our podcasts, we talked about it too, because when Susie graduated from San Jose State, we were up there and we happened to go to Ben Lomond as well. And just a beautiful church. If you ever are up that way, you do need to go in there. One fascinating part about it is the use of the icons, the use of the saints, and how when you're inside of this church, you feel like you are one of the saints. You're standing in the company of the saints. And again, comes back to that celebration idea. And so Peter Gilchrist was one of the leaders of the Campus Crusade for Christ, who was able to successfully bring back a large group of Protestants back to the Mother Church, back to Orthodoxy, and realized that within Orthodoxy, there was a treasure that you can't find anywhere else. And I invite you to read both Coming Home, as well as the article that both of which I'll put links on our show notes to, because it really talks about what we're engaged in. When we talk about Protestants coming home, we've got to talk about even Orthodox Christians. Orthodox Christians in the Western world have lost it. We are an amalgama of Protestantism and Orthodoxy. We know we have some roots over there, but nobody really understands what the faith is. So coming home is really the mantra for all of us. We all are invited to come home to the Orthodox Church. It is the place where Jesus Christ resides. And this is a beautiful invitation for everyone, not just a group of Protestants, not for people that are labeled Protestant, but for all of us to open our eyes and see the wonders that are in Orthodoxy. Hey, isn't that what we're all about? That's what Armadoxy is all about. So those are my in memoriam reflections today. Ernest Borgnine, Andy Griffith, and Peter Gilchrist. People who've made an impact on this world. There is a person who made an impact on my world, in my life. I want to share this with you because, you know, I can't get through a podcast without going into some space-time reflection. And it happened to me this week because I realized that if my dad were living, he would have been 80 years old this week. And I always remember him as a young man because he passed away at age 58. And it's interesting because in the space-time continuum, there is something about the reflections, about the memories. They stop when life stops. So you really, it's not proper for you to really extrapolate and think that somebody can be 80 years old. That life was lived until 58. I know, it's a little bit complicated right now, but think about that for a moment. Life is the limits that God has given us. That's the extent that life is to be lived. You can't really go on and say, what if? You can't look at beyond that. You can't do the computer imaging of what would they have looked like at 80, at 100, and everything. It just doesn't work because space-time is there with its boundaries, its parameters. Anyway, small little reflection there. Hey, listen, that brings us to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to invite you to join us at our website, epostle.net. That's really easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Epostle.net. And of course, you can join us at our mothership in issues.org. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You could send us email at feedback@epostle.net. Also, check out the app. We're on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Blueberry. Man, we're just all over the place. Do check us out and tell your friends about us. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Valhe, our webman, for Ani, who's going to be back next week with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.